So our reading is John chapter 20. And I'm reading from verse 1 down to verse 18. John 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen and the burial cloth lying there, the one that had been around Jesus' head. And the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed, but they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have laid him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had told these things to her. May God bless the reading of his word today. Well, this particular message will be about the resurrection day of the Lord Jesus, when many wonderful things were opened. The open tomb, open ears, open eyes, open lips. There was the open door in the home at Emmaus, the open hearts in the upper room, and finally Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. The Resurrection Day is a day of wonderful openings. I trust that today, this morning, the Lord will open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to understand, our hands to serve him in the days that lie ahead. On that resurrection day, a group of women, Mary Magdalene among them, had gone to the tomb, taking spices and ointments, the things, note, that speak of death. They'd gone taking things which speak of death. And perhaps at a distance, Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been rolled away and the governor's seal, Pilate's seal, had been broken. Now, Pilate had said, make the tomb as secure as you can. So they sealed it with his seal. But on that resurrection morning, the angelic forces came and broke that seal. God is sovereign in the affairs of men. And she turned when she saw the tomb was open and the body had gone. First thing she thought, the body had been stolen. And she turned and ran back to the disciples, leaving the other women there at the tomb. She came back and she said, they have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. The we referring to the women that she had just left. At this, Peter, the man of action, stands up, and with John, they run to the tomb. John, being more fleet of foot, outran Peter. And he reached the tomb first, and looking in, he saw the cloths and the napkin that had been around the face of the Lord folded up in a place by itself. But he did not go in. Being spiritually perceptive, he hesitated to go in. Peter, following him, the man of action, first to speak, first to act, do first, think afterwards. Peter rushed in straight into the tomb, and then he saw the cloths and the napkin. I would point out that these two actions by these two men show their different characters. Peter, spiritually perceptive, as he showed when he went after the Lord had appeared to them later in the story. He appeared to them as he stood on the beach and they were in the boat fishing. And John, looking at the stranger on the shore, had said to Peter, it is the Lord. There's the spiritual perception. Peter, the man of action, put his cloak on and leapt into the sea and swam to where the Lord was. There's the man of action. See the two characters. And the Bible is wonderful at revealing these truths to us. I like to think that the Bible is full of treasures which the Holy Spirit is just longing to reveal to us. If you want to really fathom the treasures of the Word of God, then we need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. It's waiting for us. And it's a wonderful experience to have these truths revealed. Then they left, puzzled, and went to their own homes. Meanwhile, the slower Mary Magdalene had returned to the tomb. And we read, and she stood weeping. There's something about Mary Magdalene that suggests that perhaps she was looked down on. This was the woman from whom the Lord had cast seven devils. And perhaps because of that, people tended to look down on them. Oh, this is the woman that was demon-possessed. But this is the woman to whom the Lord first revealed himself. And she stood weeping. Someone has said that they who are forgiven much, loveth much. And whilst men may love expansively, with all the bells and whistles, this is women love more deeply. And this love is evident as she's standing outside the tomb in the darkness, perhaps, or by now, the half light. And turning, she sees a figure in the garden, not recognizing it as Jesus, but thinking it to be the gardener, said to him, if you have taken him away, tell me where he is, and I will come and collect him. Where have you taken him? You see, the reason Mary didn't see the Lord was because at that point she was finding it impossible to believe. The scriptural order is we believe to see, not we see to believe. David said in the book of Psalms, I believe that I shall see the Lord in the land of the living. The reason Mary was having a problem was simply that she could not believe. There's different levels of unbelief. There's the cold, hard, flat denial, I will not believe. But that wasn't Mary. Mary's unbelief was more along the lines, I would dearly love to believe, but I can't. That's why she had brought the spices and the ointments to prepare the Lord for burial. She would have loved to have believed, but she had heard him speak those three occasions about his trial, about his ill treatment, about his death, and about his resurrection. On three separate occasions, he had said these things to the disciples, and doubtless the women overheard, because the women followed on. The women followed the disciples. So she knew, she'd heard, but she couldn't bring herself to believe. If only it was true. And then she hears that special voice speaking her name, Mary. And in that moment, the Lord opened Mary's ears to hear. And as she turned, he opened her eyes to see. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is a neglected ministry because we no longer believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have neglected him to the point where Jesus is no longer glorified in the way the Holy Spirit longs to glorify him in our hearts and lives. The moment the Holy Spirit comes into the life of the believer, the moment he is in control, Jesus is glorified. When the Holy Spirit is in control, there are no extremes of behavior. Only Jesus is glorified. And the Word of God is open. Now, maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning and you've struggled with the Bible for years. You've read it and read it and read it, but somehow it's always hard work. Might I suggest that you ask the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the Word of God to you and work. And suddenly it will be alive. And if this week you've been reading and a word has leapt out, it stood out and you thought, oh, I've never seen that before. Or it leapt out and your heart lifted. A weight was lifted. A joy. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And He it is we need in our churches today. If ever Christ is to be glorified, if ever the Word of God is to be opened. Well, I wonder what Mary would have seen. I mean, the first time she turned, she saw just the garden. The second time she turned, her ears and eyes were opened, and she saw the Lord. That's what she said when she went back to the disciples. I have seen the Lord. But I wonder what she would have said as she turned round and saw him in the garden. Can I suggest she may have seen three things? I think the first thing she might have seen was his wounded brow. Remember, this is a physical resurrection. He bore the scars in his resurrection that he bore at Calvary. So turning, she would have seen his wounded brow, where the crown of thorns had left their mark. And perhaps this would have spoken to her of his concern for her. We read in the Psalms that the thoughts of the Lord are more than the grains of sand that can be. Imagine, he's thinking thoughts toward you that cannot be numbered. So she'd be aware of his concern for her, and of course his concern for the disciples. And it would speak of his concern for the Church of Christ down through the centuries. And it would speak of his concern for us here as a church. The concern he felt for Mary Magdalene is exactly the same concern as he feels for us here. And if I may be personal, his concern for you as an individual. Whatever your concerns and worries might be this morning, he is concerned for you. Second thing she may have seen would be his wounded hands. These hands that will provide for, that would speak of protection, that would speak of care. And of course, she would realize that it would also mean he would provide and care for his disciples. He would care and provide for the Church of Christ down through the centuries. And he will provide and care for us. And he will provide and care for you. Whatever your need is this morning, he will provide and care for you. Thirdly, his wounded feet. These feet that had walked with the multitudes. Feet that had drawn close to those who were sick. His feet were here, standing in the garden. He was here. He was exactly here for her. And perhaps it would speak to her that he will come to where we are and bring us to where he wants us to be. As he drew near to Mary Magdalene, so he would draw nigh to his disciples. He would be near the Church of Christ all the way down through the centuries. And he will be here right now. And he will be here right now. So those three wonderful things she saw, I'm suggesting, when she turned with opened eyes and open ears, she looked and she saw Jesus, the wounded brow, the wounded hands, and the wounded feet. May he come to where we are. May he come to where you are and bring us and bring you to where he wants.